Join Dr. Ed Bulkley right now as we discuss today's subject, How Christian is Christian Counseling, on today's edition of Return to the Word. There's a brand new book out called How Christian is Christian Counseling, and Alden, I am proud to say that this is written by one of our very special friends, Dr. Gary Almy, who has been just a great personal friend to us now for several years. He's on our board of the International Association of Biblical Counselors, our vice president in charge of medical and professional issues. And Gary is an associate professor of clinical psychiatry at Loyola, and also associate chief of medical staff at the hospital there in Chicago. It's the Edward Hines Jr. Memorial Hospital there, VA hospital. And he has written a book that is just going to challenge people, and I encourage you to get a copy of this. We're going to be telling you how to do that a little later on, but we're going to be talking with Gary about that today. We hope you'll stay with us. Gary is just... If there's anybody more rabid about this issue of biblical counseling than I am, if that's possible, it'd be Gary Almy. That's what is so exciting about it. So we're going to be talking with him in just a moment. Did you see this letter in the newspaper today?
I didn't.
Alden, it's back in the editorial and letters section. And it said, during this presidential election season, the abortion on demand debate has reached a new low. Bill Bradley has proudly pointed to his congressional voting record as entirely for abortion, as opposed to Al Gore, who once had a conscience and voted pro-life 84% of the time during his congressional service. In other words, Bradley considers himself the better candidate because he supported the death of 40 million babies since Roe versus Wade, while Al Gore has supported only a few million. The blood of innocence is on both of their hands. They have had ample opportunity to stand in defense of preborn children, but each has chosen to dance with the devil instead. Perhaps Gore could improve his position on death by coming out in support of euthanasia before any other presidential candidate. This way, Gore could achieve solvency for Social Security and spend the tax surpluses for a bigger federal government as well.
Oh my.
Boy, there's some sense in that. And, there is such hypocrisy during this time. And I'm amazed that candidates are trying to win voters by saying, listen, I've been in favor of murdering babies longer than you have. Is this an amazing age we're living in?
Would you hate to stand before the Lord and have to give an account for the slaughter of, I think it's up to 43 million babies since Roe versus Wade?
Just incredible. And that the American people don't care. And that they're actually looking at people like this saying, okay, this is my candidate. He murders babies. I just am astounded. Well, there's a lot of careless thinking in our world, and a lot of that has to do also with the issue of Christian counseling. You see, there are people who don't understand the difference between biblical counseling and what is labeled Christian counseling. And you will hear this label again and again. It'll be applied to some of the clinics like New Life Clinics, Rafa, some of the others that really are huge money-making ventures. And are there some Christian people involved in it? Well, of course. And are some of the therapists Christian? I'm sure they must be. And do they love the Lord? I'm not even questioning that. The problem is their counseling really Christian? And Gary Almy has raised this issue, the dangerous secular influences that keep us from caring for souls. And I want to encourage you to be thinking about this, because Dr. Almy had a really not only a conversion to the Lord Jesus when he came to Christ, but also a conversion in his thinking about the way to treat people, how to help people who are having trouble thinking and acting, how to help them. Do we really find the greatest help through psychiatry, psychology, medication, or is there a better way? Well, we're going to be talking with him when we come back from break. I'm going to be looking at some of the pillars of psychotherapy and the origins of it, the effects of it, and alternatives to psychotherapy. A powerful book. We'll be telling you how to get your copy here in a little bit later on. Then we're going to open the phone lines, too, and give you an opportunity to call in. Maybe you have a comment or question for Dr. Almy. And we would love to have you take that opportunity today. I hope you'll stay with us. We'll be back in just a moment.
Welcome back. Return to the Word with Pastor Ed Bulkley. Today we're talking about how Christian is Christian counseling.
Alden, we've been blessed to have a dear friend who's come alongside to help us in many of our ministries here, not only Return to the Word, but now the International Association of Biblical Counselors. And I personally feel so excited to have Gary on board with us in that organization. Gary, we're hearing more and more from people across the world with IBC. We're getting contacts from Australia and New Zealand, the Far East, from Europe. People are saying, I'm so excited to find a group that really believes that the Bible is sufficient.
Yeah, right.
So yeah. We're so thrilled. Hey, I want to talk to you about your book. This is so exciting. It's just now. I mean, this is hot off the press.
Right. Just came out.
And it's going to be, I know you're going to have another interview today on hundreds of stations across the country, and we just wish you so well on that. Let's talk about the pillars of psychotherapy. What were you trying to get at with that?
Well, the ultimate purpose of this book is really a product of where I've come from, really. Just like you said in the introduction, you know, I went into psychiatry before I was a believer, and for me that was a kind of a religion. And it attempted to offer explanations for everything in life and the problems of man, and it certainly allowed me to assume a position of some kind of like a priest, you know, in dealing with other people's lives. But after it was such a failure to either help other people or help me, you know, you just kind of bottom out in that situation. And a pastor of a local church shared the Lord with me and led me to salvation. And the Lord took charge of my thinking as well as my heart. And I just couldn't any longer not get by with examining what I was doing in the light of Scripture. And so what I'm trying to do in the first of the four sections of the book is to help people understand what are the fundamental notions which propel the psychotherapy industry in this country. Because I think a lot of people just need to sit down and think and read a little bit about this so that they can understand, finally, that what's out there on the streets and what most people end up purchasing in terms of therapy is really a false gospel. Mm. It's an absolutely alternative religion that has fundamental beliefs that are diametrically opposed to those that you and I hold and that Scripture speaks of and writes of.
Well, you even mentioned here the Freudian Foundation, and a lot of people are going to say, well, now Christian counseling certainly doesn't have a Freudian foundation. How would you answer that?
Well, my point is that it took Freud, and he was a product of his times, to put a lot of ideas together in a very attractive package. Mm-hmm. And even though many people diss Freud these days and declare him to be passé, what he did set in motion, however, was a body of thinking that still is the centerpiece of psychotherapy, especially the insight-oriented psychotherapy kind that most people go for. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the fundamental notions that he had that finally resulted from his thinking was that we are really born in an innocent sort of way, and that everything bad in our mental and emotional life is a result of some environmental influence. Mm-hmm. Now, Freud, of course, focused on the parents, and that still is a principal focus, but just think about the fundamental notion of the entire psychotherapy industry being you have a right to be normal and healthy and happy, and the reason you aren't is because somebody did you bad at a critical moment in your development. You know, and that's really what I call the first pillar of the whole Freudian system. And even though his name is not so much attached to that anymore, that idea runs through the entirety of the insight-oriented psychotherapy industry in this country today, and in Europe as well.
And that includes Christian counseling?
Well, the problem is that the ideas from the world get woven into so-called Christian counseling, because if you go to the seminaries and the Bible colleges and you go to the bookstores and you look at what books they use, you see secular textbooks there, secular textbooks, psychology, child development, therapy, group therapy, all the various subject matter that the students of counseling are taking. You see these books come from the world, and they bring into the seminaries and the Bible colleges worldly ideas. And one of the most basic of those worldly ideas is that we have troubles because we were injured or traumatized by our environment, not because we're natural-born sinners, you know, not because we do things that God does not like and he brings conviction upon us or all various kinds of suffering, or we engender that in ourselves because of our misbehavior. No, it's all a product of the environment. And this is one of the basic ideas that is discussed in the first section of the book.
Well, this is the thing that I guess is so confusing to many. They would say, well, now, if I'm going to go to New Life Clinic, for instance, or Rafa, or any of the so-called Christian centers, are they going to teach me that my real problem is because someone else did something to me, or are they going to hold me accountable?
Well, generally speaking, and I've interviewed many, many patients of these sorts of clinics, people come away with what's called a personal narrative or an explanation of their life that involves them not being personally responsible, but being a victim. In spite of the fact that there might be the name Christian over the door, in spite of the fact that some staff members might even open the word once in a while, what most people are actually delivered is a version of psychotherapy that rests on worldly ideas, even though it may have some Christian vocabulary involved in it.
This is what I think is so confusing to many, is because they will use, many so-called Christian counselors will use Christian vocabulary, and they may not even mean the same thing that the Bible means by those words.
Well, that's another issue, is that that words are used in different ways, and words are used that have different meanings. You know, like you mentioned before, euthanasia is called care these days.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole business of choice in terms of abortion. I mean, this is the use of a word in a horrid way, as if the little infant has a choice in the matter.
Amen. Now, you mentioned in, this is chapter 2, the biblical foundation, you mentioned 6 questions.
Well, what I try to go through in that section is to compare the fundamental notions that serve as the theoretical basis of psychotherapy and compare what the Bible actually has to say about those things.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, are we really born innocent? You know, are we really in bondage to an unconscious as it's formulated by the industry of psychotherapy? Do we really have the ability to delve inside our minds, even though Scripture says we can't?
Mm-hmm.
And are we really able to make ourselves, all by ourselves, better?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is this what the Scripture says about us? And is the goal of life happiness, mm-hmm, and joy and peacefulness at all moments? Or are believers who are serving the Lord really supposed to expect a certain degree of persecution and suffering in the process?
Boy.
And are feelings like guilt and shame and sadness always to be considered alien and unjustified? Or might they actually be, you know, registrations of a God-given conscience that are designed to lead us to the Lord or lead us along the path of salvation? I mean, this is a very interesting aspect of the whole counseling movement out there in the world, is that feelings like guilt and shame and sadness, rather than being viewed as a possible registration of a conscience, to tell us that we're getting off track with the Lord's rules and regulations, they're medicated away. And so the whole opportunity then for people to come to the Lord or be led along the path of Christian growth is dissolved by some psychiatric medication or some sort of insight-oriented counseling.
You know, in section 2, Gary, you mentioned here the origins of psychotherapy, and really talking here about some of the philosophical roots, aren't you?
Well, I want to help people understand that this isn't just something that's brand new. And this goes back as through the entire history of the church to the very beginning. You know, Freud came along at a particular moment in history when the times were incredibly ripe for his ideas. You know, he came along in a Europe that was troubled and had problems, and people were losing their faith, and they were looking around for ideas to solve what they called degeneration and other social problems in Europe. And he came along at a time when there had been ground laid for him to present the ideas that man is really innocent, man can learn about his unconscious, man can make himself better with insight, he can work through his unconscious motivations and become a perfect human being. And all of his troubles are because mother and father didn't raise him right or have the right amounts of input at the right time. But, you know, Freud wasn't just an inventor of this. He was more of a synthesizer. And probably the most recent influences that we talk about in these chapters in the second section of the book are the whole influence of Darwin,
mm-hmm,
who came along with this evolutionary theory, which told the world that we're here without a God. We're here because of a natural scientific process, and no God need be involved. And Darwin gave permission to people to start looking at life and the world around them without need of reference to a God of any kind, not even a designer. He really set that process in motion. Plus, he redefined science in such a way that scientists, or people who call themselves scientists, were able to consider data to be something totally subjective and squishy, as opposed to something objective and measurable. Mm-hmm. And the whole business of counseling psychology rests on this new definition of science.
Boy, it does indeed. In fact, I see today more and more people not even understanding the scientific method, let alone how to define science itself when it relates to something that you can tangibly test. You can apply the test of repeatability to it, and you can't do that, of course, in psychology.
No, that's a very important thing that I try to explain in this part of the book, is that, you know, when psychologists say that they can examine the mind or they can examine the soul, what they're really saying is that science, which God gave us to look at his material universe, mm-hmm, so that we could understand it, is now redefined as able to look at the supernatural.
Amen.
And the immaterial.
It's ridiculous, but we're going to talk some more about that when we come back. We're talking with Dr. Gary Almy about his new book, How Christian is Christian Counseling? Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Welcome back. Return to the Word with Dr. Ed Bolka. Today we're talking about how Christian is Christian Counseling. Our guest is Dr. Gary Almy. And Pastor Dr. Almy, in his book, How Christian is Christian Counseling, writes on page 18 and 19, seminaries proudly offer degrees in psychology, and many Christian counselors boast of having integrated Freud's pillars into their counseling practice. They exult in their modernity, their balance, and their resultant professional credibility. In a recent seminary and grad school director in Christianity Today, Wheaton College is pleased to announce that the doctoral program in clinical psychology is now accredited by the American Psychological Association. They claim to offer a holistic Christian approach. Gary, what's that all about?
Well, I mentioned that particular school because it's close by, and I have, you know, had some chance to, again, go through the bookstore there, where the students buy their books, and talk to some of the students there. But I have to say that it's not a unique situation at Wheaton College, because I have also taken it upon myself to collect catalogs and brochures from a host of supposedly Christian colleges, or Christian colleges by name, who offer degree programs and master programs in psychology and counseling. And you know, my experience at Wheaton College is just firsthand and local. And I did, you know, my concern there was that anything that's accredited by the American Psychological Association has to be teaching what that organization agrees is minimum requirements for a degree in psychology, whether it's a PhD or a Doctor of Psychology degree, which means that they have to teach a whole host, 4 years' worth of material that is selected and approved and structured by the American Psychological Association. And so this is material that comes from the world, it's certified by the world, it's approved by the world, and it may not have a thing to do with what Scripture has to say about the subject. And the difficulty is that there are so many of these courses and so many of these books that they really transform the department and the curriculum into a worldly program, in spite of the name that's on the door of the school. Mm-hmm. And I interviewed four graduating PsyD students halfway through their fourth year, and asked them about their time at this particular school, and I asked them in how many courses was the Bible used as a text, a reference, or even a source of stories, and they said none. And I do not believe that this is a unique experience. I'm assuming that the students might have exaggerated a little bit, so let's just say they exaggerate 10%. And I will just give that. I don't know the answer to that question, but I just will give it. But if I look at the catalogs, and you can do this on the internet now, you can pick up schools like Rosemead, etc., and look at their catalogs and their course titles and who teaches them, and you will see a scant amount of time over a 4-year period given to Bible study or even Scripture as a source of psychological stories or situations. So, I no longer use the word integration. I just use the word decoration when I refer to these kinds of schools. I think what happens is that they, in an interest, in a desire to be academically respectable and to fit into the community at large, they teach what the APA wants them to teach. There's little room and little inclination for Scripture as a reference or even a source. And so what they end up is with programs that are basically secular programs, but they're decorated with Christian terminology. And they're taught by people who I have no reason to assume are not Christians, mm-hmm, and who believe they're doing the right thing. Mm-hmm. But out of these programs, you see, come the foundational ideas that the world put into those programs. And those foundational ideas are fundamentally those that came out of the time at when Freud wrote and the time before, and they reflect a decidedly non-Christian approach to life.
Gary, in Section 3, you talk about the effects of psychotherapy. I wonder if you could just kind of describe for us your experience with this and what you've seen happen in people's lives when they go into psychotherapy.
Well, the problem there is that, and I try to develop this in the book, if you understand what the basic ideas behind worldly psychotherapy are, and that form of worldly psychotherapy that's crept into the church as what is called Christian counseling, the outcomes are only to be expected. I mean, if you believe that a person is a damaged goods rather than a sinner responsible for his own sin, then you spend your time looking around for the person or the situation that did the damage. And there's no end to that. You can spend the rest of your life looking for memories, looking for situations, coming up with all kinds of little traumas and influences that somehow led you astray, didn't fill up your love tank, didn't give you enough self-esteem, didn't teach you to be independent and self-affirming, and all these pop words that you see. So there's an endless nature to insight-oriented counseling. You can never get to the bottom of the well. And since Scripture tells us we can't delve into our unconscious anyway with reliability, only the Lord can do that. That's what Scripture tells us. We are basically inventing lies anyway. And so it's no wonder then that we have the entire false memory situation, where people come up with memories when they can't really find them, and the therapists help them find those memories. And then, of course, the goals of this, you know, being a state of pleasure, independence, and autonomy, we see exactly what we see in the world around us today. People who are uninvolved with each other, people who maintain their independence, who do not get involved with each other's lives, who don't serve others, who lead lives like they're atoms in a gas, just equidistant from every other atom, not wanting to be touched, seeking their own self-affirmation and their own independence at all cost.
I want to ask you about this last part, Gary, alternatives to psychotherapy, because a lot of people will say, well, you're charging Christian counseling as being deficient, those that are decorated with psychology or those systems that say they're integrated with psychology. What alternative do you offer?
Well, you know, the alternative that is offered is the alternative that was always offered for 1,900 years in the church until Freud came along. And then in the last 50 or 60 years, that particular frame of reference has infested the church, and the worldly product has been offered in an increasingly frequent way. But what was offered before? And the interesting thing here is when you go back and look at the curriculum in the seminaries, the solid seminaries in this country back at the turn of the century and in the first 30 or 40 years, and you see courses called pastoral counseling or pastoral care, and they focused primarily on what does the Bible have to say about people with troubles. And they would use the Scripture and the stories in Scripture and the people in Scripture, and they would use them as examples for a pastor to build from as he relates to and serves his flock and people with problems. And so what is the alternative? The alternative is what was always the alternative, which is a complete trust and reliance upon what Scripture has to say about the troubles of man, and to bring that truth to bear in every situation of life, be it good or ill. And to use Scripture as a source of understanding, as a source of encouragement, as a source of right and wrong, and as a source of counsel and wisdom, teaching and rebuking and training. Scripture says it is all we need for godliness and righteousness. We don't need anything outside of Scripture for that. And that is what was always offered in the church down through the ages.
Well, it just seems like that's so radical. At least that's what I'm told across the country. That's so radical for you to suggest that the Bible alone is enough. When did that message become radical?
Well, it became radical probably after the 70s, you know, when Naramore and Gabelline and Holmes and then Gary Collins wrote their works on integration. And everybody got the idea that the Bible was at least fine and interesting, but not really sufficient.
Mm-hmm.
And they got the idea that the world was quickly discovering wonderful new insights about how men and women get into trouble and how to get them out of trouble. And we really needed to fold these new insights into what Scripture has to say. So the point is, what happened was, people forgot to test those new insights against Scripture. And they forgot to compare these new things that psychology was telling them with what Scripture has to say about the same subject. Mm-hmm. For example, psychology says, well, the reason you're messed up is because your mom and dad messed you up. They didn't raise you right. Well, you find just the opposite in Scripture. You don't find that we stand innocent before the Lord because we had a dissatisfactory mom and dad.
That's right. It does talk about that original sin, and we want to open up this discussion to our listeners today as well. Gary, maybe they have a comment or a question about
sure.
this, and we're going to open the phone lines right now. You can give us a call at 1-888-GOD'S-WORD. That's 1-888-463-7967. Talking with Dr. Gary Almey about how Christian is Christian counseling, the dangerous secular influences that keep us from caring for souls. Wonder what you think about this. Why don't you give us a call right now, 1-888-GOD'S-WORD. That's 1-888-463-7967. Here in Denver, 303-451-LIFE.
Today on Return to the Word, we're talking about how Christian is Christian counseling. Our guest is Dr. Gary Almey, and you can join in our discussion by calling us in the Denver metro region at area code 303-451-LIFE. That's 451-5433. Anywhere else in the country, you can call us toll-free at 1-888-GOD'S-WORD. That's 1-888-463-7967.
Listen to what Jay Adams says about this book. This helpful book intricately intertwines history, philosophy, and theology in a powerful critique of psychiatry. It's the book you've wanted to give to Christians who've become tangled in the tenets and tentacles of psychiatric theory and practice. If you're a serious student, you cannot be without it. That's a powerful endorsement.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see this book is going to be in colleges all across the country, in seminaries, universities. Even those that are opposed to biblical counseling are going to have to look at this book. They're going to have to, because it is going to have that kind of an impact across the country. And Gary, again, we want to thank you so much for producing this. We have some callers right now. We're going to go to Roy in New Berlin. Roy, how are you today?
How are you doing, Pastor?
Just doing wonderful. You got a comment or question for us?
Yes. I have called before to criticize secular psychology, because I had a big dose of it in my life before I came to know the Lord. And the only true counsel there is Bible, the Bible, the Word of God. And, you know, what my comment was that, you know, I criticize a lot. I understand there's a lot of good people that work, and they're well-meaning people that work in this industry.
Yes.
But as long as they're caught up in the system, because that's what it is. It's a system, a humanistic system, to try to remove the hand of God out of the whole society. My experience was this. My experience was that it was also, it's almost like a group thing. They only have one solution for every problem, you know, without taking into consideration that we are all different people from different backgrounds. Mm-hmm. And it was just like the same thing that they would tell us, you know, actually at times there was 20 of us in the same room, all with different people listening to the same solutions, you know, and it never worked. And I wanted to ask your guest, a psychologist told me one time, you know, and, you know, he came to me, he says, you know, he was, we got to know each other. He goes, just one person out of 100 ever solved the problem through psychology. So I just wanted to know if you ever heard that. And I believe that I'd be surprised if one person out of 100.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's all there is. They're trying to remove the hand of God. He's the only one that knows the heart of man.
Amen.
Help us out.
All right, Roy, I'm going to let Gary respond to that. I'll drop you off and let you listen.
Okay,
yep. Thanks.
What was the one person out of 100 again?
Only one out of 100 were really helped by psychology, according to this therapist. And Roy is saying he doubts that it's even that high a percentage.
Well, you know, I think you've made some good comments. You know, and one, I think, I know Ed has introduced this whole program from this standpoint. You know, I wouldn't want to just sound like some kind of clanging critic here saying that everybody who's trying to do Christian counseling is an evil person. Because, you know, these are people who want to help other people. Mm-hmm. This is in the most wonderful tradition of the faith, that we come alongside each other and we try to share the comfort that we have from the Lord with another person. Mm-hmm. You know, my burden, my agony is that these people, well-meaning, well-intended, you know, serious Christians, are led astray by their teachers and by the teaching, and all of these people thinking that they're doing something really great by bringing some so-called science and some new insights to bear on the problems of man. And so I wouldn't want to run down these people, but I do want people to think seriously about the ideas that are behind this, the kind of things that are taught in these various courses, and the kinds of ideas that we hear under the guise of so-called Christian counseling. And as long as counseling is practicing the fundamental notions that I talk about in the book, the first of which, of course, is this whole notion of original innocence and environmental determinism, as long as those ideas are behind the counseling, I can't imagine that anybody is helped if we take into account the Christian interpretation of help.
Yeah.
I mean, what it really means to help somebody. Because there's no way that the fundamental notions behind insight-oriented psychotherapy as it's conducted in this country today are going to lead anybody to the Lord for salvation, or are going to lead anybody along the path of progressive sanctification. So I don't know that I can't imagine 1 in 100 would be helped unless they were helped by some serious Christian taking the Word and wresting them free from that therapist and getting them back into a study of the Word and fellowship and worship and prayer and service in a church community.
You know, he even mentioned there, Roy did, our caller, about the humanism of it. And that's really one of the major themes of your book, is how humanism has just swept into this entire industry.
Right. These are ideas that have been percolating around the church for since its earliest days, and I draw some comparisons with Augustine and his time and how he fought against these ideas in his day and really held them at bay for hundreds and hundreds of years even after his death. His powerful writing and teaching held a lot of this kind of thinking out of the church, and then as time passed and his influence kind of waned, they started creeping back in quite rapidly.
Interesting. I think people will really benefit from reading that section, especially if they're going to be arguing, I should say, reasoning with others, family members and all, who are concerned about this, to give them ammunition like that, Gary. I think it's going to be a wonderful gift for them. I'm so thankful for it. Before I hate to go to a call right now because I'm going to have to break in just a minute. And Susan, if you'll just wait for us, there's a question going to be about a counseling degree, and we want you to be able to share that without us rushing you. Let me just give folks an idea how they can get a hold of this book, Alden. Now, we're going to be offering this for a gift of $18 or more, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And it is just packed with information. You've got not only does the general index give you all kinds of resources and how to find these various people and writings. It gives a scripture index, how you can go to God's Word and see how it relates to what Gary is saying. He has notes on every subject, and every chapter is well documented. He has a resource list, and I just encourage pastors to get a copy of this. And if you care about your pastor and your church and the direction you're going in counseling, you'll want to get a copy of this book and give it to your pastor.
And I might mention it's 350 pages, that might seem like, well, that's a lot of material, but I'll tell you what, I am so excited about reading this, Pastor, because of the background. That's where so many Christians do not have, is a background of where psychotherapy came from.
That's right. This
is where it's going.
It really will. You can get a copy by calling us later on today at 1-888-GOD'S-WORD. That's 1-888-463-7967. And as I say, for a gift of $18 or more, we'll get this into your hands, and you can do that by a check or a credit card, however you want to do that. But we'd love to get this to you. Now, we have one phone line still open. You can call us at 1-888-GOD'S-WORD. That's 1-888-463-7967 here in Denver, area 303-451-LIFE. That's 451-5433. We'll be back in just a moment talking with some more of our callers about the subject, How Christian is Christian Counseling?
You can order a copy of today's program on cassette tape by calling us at 1-888-GOD'S-WORD, or you can also write us at Return to the Word. Our address is 11500 Sheridan Boulevard, Denver, Colorado, 80020.
You know, Gary's going to be on, I think it's called Primetime America later on this afternoon. I think 5 o'clock Chicago time, Central time. And that's Moody Bible Institute, their radio network, some 240 stations. Wouldn't it be something if callers from across the country would say to the host and just ask him a question, if this is the case, why is Moody promoting integrated psychological mm-hmm. counseling? I don't think they have to say it in a harsh way, but just to raise a question and say, you know, have you really thought this through? And would you consider making a change? I don't know, Gary, if anybody will have the courage to do that, but I wish they would, because I love Moody Bible Institute and what they have meant down through the years. But I have watched, in fact, our son, who is a student there now, probably is going to be transferring away from there this next year just because of this very thing. They feel the compromise is just going too far.
Well, it's a very common story. Schools that have every reason, and in many and most of their other departments are very solidly biblical, somehow feel the allure of the world in the counseling arena, and they give way to the textbooks and the expertise of the world, and before they know it, their programs are just decorations.
That's true, and you know, you made a good point that in many of their other departments, they still are very sound.
I have certainly interacted with students at Moody, and I'm very impressed with the school, but I'm concerned about the counseling department there. But again, it's very typical, and it's not just that school. It's many, many Christian colleges across the country, Bible
That's
schools.
Right.
Just look at the bookstores. Go in the bookstores and see where the books come from. You'll see the answer right there.
Good point. Let's talk with Susan in Wonder Lake, Illinois. Susan, how are you?
Fine, thank you. I really appreciate your program, and I just caught like maybe the last 15 minutes, but I'm really praise the Lord that how he works. I got in the mail something from the Center for Biblical Counseling in Forest, Virginia, and they are have an external studies division of the American Association of Christian Counselors. And, I mean, their doctrinal statement sounds very good, but the faculty has psychologists on it, and will Gary's book help me to discern whether this is something that I would want to do?
Okay, let me have Gary respond. Gary, could you hear the question?
Yeah, that's really the prime purpose of the book, ma'am, is to help people get armed so that they can use their godly powers of discernment to go to do exactly what you want to do, is to look at a brochure, to look at a faculty, to look at a curriculum, or to look at a counseling center and decide, now, is this really a scripturally based program, or is this just another one of these humanistic programs that calls itself or thinks it's being Christian?
Yeah.
That has really been led astray by the world.
Right. Okay. And the title of your book again?
It's How Christian is Christian Counseling.
Okay. Very good. Thank you so much for your program.
You're
really
welcome.
Appreciate it. And the Lord continue to bless you in proclaiming his true word.
Thank you, Susan. I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
God bless you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You know, also, Susan mentioned ACC. Or ACCC, that's American Christian Counseling. Is it AACC? I think it's AACC, American Association of Christian Counselors. And isn't that the one that Gary Collins has put together?
That's right, yeah.
And
Gary Collins is one of the early authors of the whole integration movement.
Mm-hmm.
And he wrote really the definitive work in that subject area. And once he wrote his book, Integrating Psychology and Christianity, there really hasn't been a lot of argument since then.
Mm-hmm.
And he just kind of put it together in such a authoritative package that people simply always reference the Collins work in this regard. And so his organization is simply an extension of that approach. We need to integrate the wisdom of the world with the Scripture and then come up with a better product, as if to say Scripture is not sufficient or authoritative in the most important issues of man.
And I might mention, Gary, that Gary Collins' book was Can Christians Trust Psychology? he really answered with a yes.
Yes, of course.
And Pastor Ed's response in his first book was why Christians can't trust psychology. So this is an issue that Christians really need to be thinking about.
We have some more callers here. Let's go to line three, and we have Kathy in Joplin, Missouri. Kathy, how are you?
Fine, hi. I just wanted to say how much I agree with what you're saying, because I had used to belong to a church that was very, a cult, really. I don't know if you've ever read Ron Enroth and about fringe churches. And
I've not seen that, no.
Well, anyway, the church was very, I mean, like, we lived communally, you know, and everyone contributed all of their money together, and anyway, it was very oppressive.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, I went for counseling after I had left there, you know, at a Christian place, but I felt that the counseling was, you know, they were trying to get me to, oh, you know, did you talk to your father when you were young? And, you know, trying to see why I ended up getting into that cult.
Right, yeah.
And I really feel that it was Jesus that delivered me and just showed me that, you know, if you walk with the wise, you will be wise, and just stick to the Bible. And anyway, I really appreciate what you're talking about, because it's just, even, you know, in healthy churches, I feel they try to direct you to psychology to help you instead of the Bible.
You know, Kathy, that's one of our greatest concerns, is that many pastors, thinking that they're not able to help others, are indeed turning their people over to counselors instead of shepherding their own flock. And
exactly.
Yeah.
Right, right.
Well, I appreciate your call so much. God bless you. Thank you for calling in.
Well, thank you. I appreciate your program. Thank you.
Thanks. Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Gary, is that one of the concerns that you have as well, pastors just kind of bailing out?
Well, that's what's happened over the last 30 or 40 years, is that because psychology builds itself as a science and builds itself as so highly technical and complicated, many, many pastors simply assume that this demands knowledge and expertise that's way beyond them. And they're more than happy then, and for maybe other reasons, to simply refer their troubled parishioners and members off to some, quote, professional, unquote, down the street. And I think if pastors could read this book or other book, like your books, Ed, the other books like this, they would come to understand that what they may be doing is sending somebody off to a whole different gospel and a whole different religion, as if to say, well, I really don't have time to talk to you about Christianity, but there's this Hindu guy down the street. I think he's got some time for you.
Boy.
It's almost that bad.
Mm-hmm.
Because the fundamental notions of psychology that we talk about in the book really present mankind in a totally unchristian light, and his solution to his troubles in a totally non-Christian way. And people need to understand that before they make these glib referrals to the local psychologist or the local therapist, who, even though he may call himself a Christian, if he practices something with these ideas at the root of it, this is the wrong place to go.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk with Ruth in Cambridge right now. Ruth, how are you?
I'm pretty good today. A little bit of laryngitis. Hope you can understand me.
You bet. Go right ahead.
Yes, I would appreciate your wisdom in how to be of best help to my 47-year-old cousin. We just moved in with his mother, who's 85 years old, who's gone through a dreadful period of time here. And her son is incarcerated now, but he needs, they say he needs counseling. And he seems to be just lies without even giving it a thought. And so they're trying to get him into a counseling program, and we tried to let him know that he really needs the Lord in his life, and the Lord needs to change his heart. Now, I'm going to get this book, so I imagine I'll learn a lot from that. But we're right in the middle of the crisis right now. I just happened to turn on the radio. I was thrilled when I heard you addressing this issue. So what can we do from the prison system to get him this good counseling?
Okay, Ruth, thank you. Gary, can you answer that?
Well, obviously, the most important thing that this man needs is to come to know the truth. I mean, the very first step here has to be his very salvation. He needs to hear the gospel, and he needs to hear it in a powerful way. and he needs to be confronted with that. That, and that's the most important thing, because if he's receives the gift of faith, then he has the Holy Spirit to help him and guide him and strengthen him in his walk. And so the most important thing at the outset is really somebody needs to share the gospel with this man. And then he needs to be steered in a direction of counseling away from the worldly and toward the scriptural, if that can possibly be done. I do not know what town you're in. But a lot of this will depend on whether or not that prison has a truly biblical chaplain in that prison. And there are organizations of biblical chaplains who are very up to speed on the very issues that we're talking about.
The Freedom Flyer organization?
Well, yes, that's what I was thinking of, was the Freedom Flyer Ministries. They have 500 chaplains across the country in prisons all over the land, and their sole purpose is to deal just exactly with what you've been talking about, ma'am, is to bring the gospel to bear in this man's life. And then what they do is not just do that, they plug these prisoners into churches that are sound and solid in the community, so that there's follow-up and discipling and accountability over time. And that's the key here with these kinds of people.
Ruth, if you want to get a hold of Freedom Flyer Organization, if you call us later on today, we'll give you that number.
Oh, I'd appreciate that. We just want to do our best here.
Sure, yeah.
And also I'd like to add that I have been greatly harmed in the past by counseling.
Mm.
And so I appreciate what you've done. And it's unbelievable how they can, what is sin they call otherwise.
Yes, indeed. Ruth,
thank you so much.
God bless.
You. Bye-bye.
Christina, you had a question about, is the book in other languages? And Gary, it's not yet translated, correct?
Not yet.
It will be, I'm sure, in the days ahead, folks. And you keep praying about that. Thanks to each one of you who've called in today. And Gary, thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
Precious friend. Stay online. We'll talk in just a minute.
Thank you, Pastor, and thank you to our special guest, Dr. Gary Almy. That's spelled A-L-M-Y. If you're looking for his book in the bookstore, you can order a copy of today's program on cassette tape entitled How Christian is Christian Counseling by calling us at 1-888-GOD'S-WORD. You can also write us at Return to the Word. Our address is 11500 Sheridan Boulevard, Denver, Colorado, 80020. God bless you. Hope you'll join us again tomorrow at the same time here on Return to the Word.
We hope this tape has been helpful for you. You can request a copy of our tape catalog by calling us at 1-888-GOD'S-WORD. That's 1-888-463-7967. We have tapes, books, and videos in a variety of subjects. If you would like a copy of our free newsletter, we'd be happy to send one along for you. Call us at 1-888-GOD'S-WORD. 1-888-463-7967. And thank you for listening.